Get refueled at the 2019 Direction for Life Conference, Full of Faith, at Right Direction Church International, November 6th through the 8th. It'll be 3 days of life-changing services with powerful messages from Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marcia Bailey, Bishop Joseph Walker, Dr. Darius Daniels, and Pastor Keon Henderson. We'll also have musical guests Joy Hill, Todd Galbert, and Gay Arbuckle. On Friday at noon, join us for an empowerment luncheon with motivational speaker and executive advisor Simon T. Bailey, focusing on leadership and making an impact in the workplace. Reignite your faith at the 2019 Direction for Life Conference, Full of Faith, November 6th through the 8th, 12 noon and 7 p.m. nightly at Right Direction Church International, 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia.
You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Come Through Dripping by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
The blood of Jesus makes the past act of Jesus become activity in our lives. Notice that this is continual. This is not the blood that saved. This is not the blood that will one day save you later. This is the blood that continually saves you now. Continual. Everybody say continual. The blood saves. It's the blood that saves present tense. It continually saves the soul of man. My God. The mind, the will, and the emotions, the atonement of Jesus. The blood continually saves the soul of man. The mind, the will, and emotions. So when you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, it starts taking stuff out of that would take you 6 weeks in counseling. Some of you all did not have those type of insurance benefits. They're trying to figure out why the old generation ain't as crazy as the millennials. We going through counseling and stuff. The older people knew how to use the blood. There's some stuff that happened to some people. And we that if it was not for the blood, not no doctor, no counseling, not no pill. Some stuff, Minister Tasha, some stuff, it had to be the blood. It had to be the blood. You're able to put two and two together. That type of tragedy, that type of trauma that's left your life, you should be carrying that trauma. Somehow, some way, somehow, the blood. That, I get it. That's why in the church they quicken when they say the blood. They do all this stuff like this. The blood, the blood, the blood. They blood. They know. They remember what happened to mama. They remember what they went through with their siblings. They remember the times they came home. They remember it's stuff that happened that nobody knows that happened. Because the blood. Has been working on your behalf. Jesus. Romans 5 and 9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. So the blood saves. The blood makes me slippery before the slip up. College students, give God a praise right now. The blood makes you slippery before the slip up. The blood makes you come out right after you're wrong. The blood keeps you holy while you acting unholy. You're thinking I'm coming off theologically? Okay, Hebrews 10 and 14. Just in case you think I'm crazy. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. He forever made you perfect as you're becoming holy. So that's why even though you're mad at your child, the devil can't have your child. That's why even though they're doing everything else, and that's why we got to be careful. Those of you all who have parents who plead the blood of Jesus over you, listen here, all the students in here who have parents who sacrifice and worship God and love the Lord and pray for you. You need to hug your mama a lot. That's what I'm talking about, hug your mom. You need to hug your mama today because your friends are trying to figure out why you ain't in trouble like them and how you ain't get shot like they got shot and how you ain't in jail like they in jail. Somehow you've been made perfect. Somehow you've been made perfect in advance. So even though you at the club and you doing stuff, mama's prayers, the blood got you. So everybody else got out. All the other kids got locked up. You have the privilege of whipping your child as they home. Somebody else, their child locked up or got killed. You're mad at your child for being there, but you're scratching your head like, how did you get out? The blood. For by that one offering, He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Go ahead and praise God for someone you know that's becoming holy. It's a process. It takes a little longer. It's taking a little longer than the other people. But somehow, some way, He's perfecting you. You're trying to get yourself together. Mama's praying for you. Each step of the way, my God. Somehow, some. Hey! Yeah! It's the blood, mama. It's the blood. It is. It is. It is. I'm mad at him. He deserves that. But somehow, some way, he's been made perfect as he's becoming holy. So the blood was strategic. It pulls on you. It has redeeming power. I know why I'm saved. The answer's in the blood. It releases strategy. This strategy in the blood of Jesus. I hid your destiny in Christ Jesus. I hid your purpose in the blood of Jesus. Well, why do you praise God like that for the blood? Why? Why y'all acting like this? Because we're acknowledging in the moment what the blood does in the moment. That's why we're acting crazy. Because we understand the car did flip 7 to 10 times. We understand that statistically without the blood you should be dead. We understand that statistically, without the blood, I shouldn't have a master's degree. I understand that I wasn't the best student, but when I went to study in Christ versus study in life, the blood went through my blood cells, gave me what I need in my mind to comprehend. I declare, I dare you, your children who are not doing that good academically, start sending them to school by the blood. Okay, school ain't working for you? Well, you're going to school on purpose. I declare you're there to show the fruits of Jesus. I declare you're the type of student that's going to give God glory. You're in your comeback season. Your grades are going to turn around in the name of Jesus. So what does it do in the moment? It reminds God that He covered the cost of our sins in advance. So when your child acts up, God does not see your child. He accidentally, sometimes he gets a blur. He has blur vision. He starts to get dizzy. As you're punishing your child and you're trying to figure out why God won't punish your child, God's getting dizzy because he doesn't see your child. He might see Isaac. He might see Esther, Sarah, Abraham, Paul, Peter, Samson, David. But then ultimately he goes, once he gets clear, he goes, oh, that looks like my son Jesus. And then somehow favor finds those who people don't think is fair to find. Somehow grace finds those who people don't think deserve grace. And guess what? It ain't grace if everybody else think you deserve it. It's not mercy if everybody's happy you got it. You need somebody disappointed that you got out. That's how you know it's him. So you have to understand, everybody ain't gonna clap for you. Everybody's not happy for you. But that's okay. That's why I say hallelujah. They're not happy for me. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. Give me a schedule, Brandon. Because of the sacrifice of Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're free people, free of penalties and punishment chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything provided for everything we could possibly need. Just in case that one excuse you use don't work, I got an answer for that too. God said, just in case, okay, what, before we kill my son, what could they need? What is one thing the devil might still have? Is there anything? Have you ever gone to plan something, but you left something out and there's a loophole? God, before he sent Jesus, made sure there was no loopholes in salvation. He made sure that it could, everybody, any type of person could get saved. The one, even the serial killer could get saved. Even the terrorists who we don't like, it's not in our interest to like. God said, y'all can do what y'all do, but as for me and my people coming back to me, as for eternal life, I'm going to make sure everybody can find their way back to me. So this is what he did. Abundance, he thought of everything provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth is summed up in the drip of Jesus. So before you think a drip is a watch, before you think drip is some necklace or some chain, before you worry about what you have, take no thought what you shall wear. God say, before you, your clothes don't make you valuable, the blood of Jesus, the clothes go on top of the blood. So even though you're trying to get yourself together and you don't like where you live at and you don't like what you drive and you don't like the clothes you have and everything in your natural eyes don't look like you're blessed, let me remind you, you are covered with the blood of Jesus. So we can't dilute the blood with self-effort. Don't dilute the blood with self-worth. Don't dilute the blood with confidence. Don't mix it up, the blood, with anything else that comes from this world. There is nothing else needed territory. The blood is for nothing else needed territory. If you dilute it, you take it away from its pure state. If you take away the pure state, you take away the pure idea. I started looking at the different colors in this. It's two different theories out there. One says red is one of the original colors, and there's others saying, no, you can still take colors and mix them. Well, one of the colors you can make red is magenta, and I believe green. It might be yellow. I forgot. But the point is, the person saying, even one dab of anything left on that paintbrush, anything left on that paintbrush that should not be on that paintbrush will accidentally make the red look orange. God is saying, before you cover yourself in the blood of Jesus, make sure you are cleansing your heart. Make sure you ain't trying to mix it with any other theories you have in life, like my PhD or your master's degree or whatever, anything else you have in your life that you think makes you really cool and really awesome. God's saying, before you even talk about that, is my blood enough? Is my liquid gold enough? So you might have sin in your life. People might talk about you. But when you come to Jesus, understand that it's the blood that saves. The blood has repenting power. Everybody say repenting power. Repenting power. This is the blood that you go back to when you do wrong. This is the blood for that time you just didn't mean to do it. This is the blood for that pride you have that caused you to keep making mistakes. This is the blood for the issues you have that you tend to ignore. This is the blood for that stanky attitude that you have that you don't see. This is the blood for issues you have with other people. This is the blood that covers you while you're hanging on with the wrong friends and hanging out with the wrong people. This is the blood for when you don't have all the answers, you repent back to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus in here? Jesus come through dripping. So the blood helps those in pride. Let's talk about this real quick. Prideful people can't see themselves because they cannot look inside of themselves. They simply need a blood drip reminder. So what is pride? The feeling of deep pleasures. Deep. Everybody say deep. It's not wrong with pleasure, but deep pleasure or deep satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. The achievements of those whom one is closely associated with. Qualities or possessions. Like you can have these things, but don't hang on to them deeply. God wants the death of your soul. God wants the death of your heart. So Jesus was crushed to crush pride. Okay? So God says, repent then and turn to God so that he will forgive your sins, according to Acts 3 and 19. So repent is to feel or express deep, sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. View or think or acts of omission with deep regret or remorse. I feel regret. I feel wrong about this deeply. That is true repentance. God is saying, in order to get away from pride, you're going to have to deeply connect with what I've done in your life, what I am doing in your life, and what I want to do with your life more than you connect with what you've done with your life. I know you did a good job. I know you had to get yourself out. I know if you didn't do what you needed to do, and everybody has to make decisions. You come in looking like your parents, you die looking like your decisions. I get it. But God is saying, can I be more powerful than your theory today? Can I be more important than what you did for your life to get yourself out? What if I didn't wake you up while you were contemplating that decision? Some of your decisions you put off to the next day. What if God didn't create the next day for that decision to be executed? God is saying, you until you get deep with it. Someone say, get deep with it. Now, I specialize in this. But some people don't like to be deep. And for those of you all who struggle with pride, that is your problem. You got to find a deep way to connect with what God's done in your life over what you think you've done with your life. Because I promise you, your lungs, if they had a mouth, they'll say, you ain't keep me breathing. If your heart had lips, it'll say, stop lying. You know good and well God be keeping me beating. God is, if your brain had lips, it'll say, now you know good and well that was not your idea. That idea came in the shower. You know you wouldn't have started that company. Matter of fact, if you didn't go through that pain, you wouldn't have started that business. God is saying, it is me. 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 It's my drip that caused your life to get upgraded. It's my blood that caused your life to go to the next level. God has set things right. God has set things right. And lastly, just like you can repent from the blood also helps you reconcile. This is important. Everybody say reconcile. Reconciliation. So once I repent back to the Lord Jesus, I come back with the love of God. You don't repent. You don't use the blood for yourself and don't use it for your neighbor. You don't use the blood of Jesus for your own sins and then hold a grudge to somebody else's sin. I know they're not operating like you expect them to operate. I know they're not doing what you think they should do. I know they're not reacting how you think they should react. I know you think they should be more mature in this. I know you think they're family. I know you think this. God is saying, nuh-uh, this ground is cursed. I don't think you understand. This life, this world system is cursed. And anybody without constantly being covered in the blood of Jesus can enter into the world system and reason like the curse. So once I repent to the Lord Jesus, I come back with the love of God. And the other people around me, I can love through the blood. Everybody say through the blood. You're not loving them through what you think they should have done and how they should have acted. You're loving them through the drip. You're loving them through the drops of Jesus at the cross. You're loving them through redemption. Come on, come on. They may have a bad blood with me, but I don't have bad blood with them. Something about the love of God. Something about the love of Jesus. If God let me get away with some stuff because of the blood, I'm going to say it again. If God lets you get away with some stuff because of the blood, okay, I'm going to say it again, spirit of pride. If God lets you get away with some stuff because of the blood, how are you going to live your whole life, go to the grave, and not let no one else get away with something because of the blood? If God let me get away with some stuff because of the blood, then we in return have to let other people just get away with some stuff. Just let them go. And this blessed me because this is biblical. The Levites, we're going to end here. The Levites, help me, Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost. The Levites, when they used to give atonement for sins, there would be two goats and one bull. One goat was for the tabernacle. The other goat was called a scapegoat. This really blessed me. The scapegoat was the goat that had all the justifications, all the excuses of why people don't apologize, those type of sins. The scapegoat would play this. Leviticus 16 gives instructions to the Levites to set aside two goats on the Day of Atonement. The first goat was meant as a sacrifice for sins of the people. The second goat was to be sent into the wilderness, removed from the sins of Israel. So the scapegoat, this word comes from Judaism, but the Urban Dictionary says like this. This is a scapegoat is an event person or object that is used to lay the blame on for all that goes wrong. Regardless of the contributions of others, this is the one we're blaming. I know they did it to you. My God, just stay here. Stop. So God is saying, will you allow Jesus to be your scapegoat today? I know you're mad at your aunt. I know you're mad at your coworker. I know you don't like your boss, a student. Yet that teacher just might be racist. But God said, if you keep trying to add all up the sin, and calculate it into your theological, philosophic society, you'll be in butting back and forth for the rest of the days of your life. And God is saying, what I did is I did not calculate it. When I shed my blood, I got tired of reasoning with man, trying to figure out what can I do to make them perfect for me. I got tired of trying to you raise up different leaders to carry the mantle, and their flesh would fail. I said, Jesus, I know you're talking to me, but I listened to Abraham before, and he still messed up. Moses spoke back. All these other prophets were able to go to God saying, well, would you do it for one? Will you do it for two? Will you do it for three? Jesus goes to talk to God. He ignores Jesus because this time he realizes, I can't listen to man's lips. The answer's in their blood. And the answer's in my son's blood. And for some of you all today, God is challenging you to use Christ as a scapegoat. He's challenging you to send that hurt, send that pain to a far away place. And don't allow it to stay in your home, stay in your conversations, stay inside the family. God is saying, send it away. It's no use of figuring it out. It does not compute. It doesn't compute. God says it's called sin. It's the curse, it's evil that lies in each of our flesh when we don't plead the blood of Jesus over our life. So the priest would lay hands on the scapegoat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away in the wilderness. Everybody go ahead and stand up and send it away. Come on, stand up, send something away. Send something away right now. Come on, put your hand on your heart. It might take some time. Go ahead and pray over that thing. God, I release this thing. Come on. I release this thing. I release this thing in the name of Jesus. I release this thing. Come on. I release this thing. I release it. So we get in arguments. We go through things and we desire to blame someone. There are people in jail and the sentence is still not enough. There's people who get the death penalty, but those families are still hurt and still upset. We thought that it would bring closure. We thought that the traumatization will help us out. But God said, no, you need an scapegoat. Yeah, judgment, there's a place for justice. And there is a process and there are consequences. But for you to lay your hope in those consequences, for you to put your heart in judgment, God said, let me handle it. We just talked last week about God fighting his battles. God said, let me handle it. And don't you sit there and cheer for me when I handle it. How do you know your heart's right? How do you know if your heart's right if you're not watching Jesus like he's your favorite player? God said, no, I ain't moving. I ain't get on my throne. You sit here watching me. You want me to hurt your brother. You want me to release my hand off your sister. I sent my son to die for that, even though you don't understand. Stop praying perverted prayers that God would strike your brother and sister in Christ. That's perverted. The blood of Jesus is allowed to cover them, even though you don't like them. They still qualify for the blood. So people are looking for a scapegoat. And people are mad and people are hurting in society and even in life. But that's why God is a prime example of the scapegoat. We're trying to figure out what happened with Barabbas. What happened was once Jesus was crucified, once he was in chains, and if you read the scriptures for the second time, we got to close. It said when he stood in front of Pilate, he wouldn't say anything. He was quiet. Why was he quiet? He wasn't there to be human. He was there to be a goat. The reason why Jesus didn't say nothing back to those who were like, didn't you say you're the king? He might say a couple words here and there. He said, I'm not here to talk. I'm here to be atonement. At that point, Jesus had it settled. Now, Jesus had it settled of what he came to die for. Do you have your forgiveness settled? Are you willing to let it go today? Are you willing to let it go? I ain't talking about professionally let it go through an email. You can leave a job and that job's still in your heart. I'm talking about you let it go. And you let it go. But the only way you can truly let it go is if you fully comprehend atonement. If you fully comprehend what Jesus did. Jesus is the scapegoat so you can get rid of that thing. Rid of it in your marriage. Rid of it in your family. And stop allowing people's opinions to be the pilot of your life.
The blood of Jesus is constantly working on your behalf. The ultimate sacrifice by Jesus ensures your salvation if you accept it. Pastor Chandler Bailey intertwines a pulp culture catchphrase with the blood of Jesus in this practical and timely message. Order this two-part series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for Come Through Dripping.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.